Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? This is 411 Teen, a space dedicated to examining the realities shaping today's youth, families, educators, and other interested folks. Each week, we explore the issues influencing teens, families, and educators, asking hard questions and encouraging deeper understanding. Informed conversations lead to stronger communities. What happens when staying healthy becomes too expensive to afford? Across the country, millions of Americans are skipping routine checkups, not because they don't care, but because they simply can't justify the cost. And when prevention disappears, risk takes its place. Today, we explore the consequences of delayed care and a different approach to staying well. My guest says health doesn't start in the exam room. It starts with daily choices, what we eat, how we care for our bodies, and how we build resilience before illness strikes. Joining 411 Teen is Karen Howard, Executive Director of the Organic and Natural Health Association and author, who argues that prevention doesn't begin in a doctor's office, it begins at home. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and Karen Howard joins via Zoom platform from Washington, D.C. Welcome to 411 Teen, Karen. I've been looking forward to this conversation all week.
I am delighted to be here.
Thank you. Well, let's get started. What are you seeing nationally when it comes to people delaying or skipping preventive care?
You know, it's interesting because I'm just seeing it hit sort of the news wires, you know, just conversations on TV about how people are delaying going to the doctors. And it's not really surprising when you think the first thing that happened was a lot of people lost subsidies on their health insurance that they pay for. Subsequently, you see all these increases in co-payments. Instead of $20 to go in and see your primary care provider, it could be $40, it could be $60 for a specialist. And when you start seeing those out-of-pocket costs go up pretty dramatically, along with other costs, what are you going to put off? You know, you've got to have gas in the tank. You've certainly got to go to the grocery store. But these are things that you can just push aside. And oftentimes, as it is, people are reticent to go to the doctor anyway. So, you know, that's why we're having this conversation as to, you know, if you can't do it or if you're avoiding it, what can you do that's reasonable that keeps your family healthy? Mm-hmm.
Well, which populations are being hit the hardest right now and why?
I think that people who are buying their own practitioners, you know, they're paying for their health insurance independently, which I did for decades until I reached 65 and got Medicare. Mm-hmm. And so with that, people are really watching their pennies because everything adds up. I think that also, though, even the more common, if you're working for, if you have an employer or you work for a school system and you have benefits, I think you're even seeing those costs go up. So I'm not sure that anybody is actually able to avoid it unless they are in a program like Medicare or Medicaid.
Okay. Now, would you share the common preventive services that you see people skipping?
Yeah, I know that everybody needs to go and get an annual visit. Mm-hmm. I think those are certainly, you know, things that are being overlooked. I think that people with allergies and, you know, some of the things that they think they can cope with on their own are probably staying away from doctors for things like that. And I think it could go all the way into, you know, do I need to have my eyes checked and what have I not done? Have I had a pap smear? You know, those kinds of things. And those kinds of things can really start to accumulate a bad effect pretty quickly.
Well, the long-term consequences of skipping something as simple as an annual checkup, share some of those. What will folks see? You know, you think, I'm doing okay. You know, I haven't had any problems. I don't really have to have this annual checkup. And that happens 1 year, then you know, and it's another year. So what happens when one does this? Because I think folks need to at least be sensitive to what this risky behavior, what the consequences are.
I think what you'll start to see over time is, and of course there are other factors that play into this, like your diet and your lifestyle, mm-hmm. dramatically.
Yeah.
But you'll start to see things decline. You know, your ability, your mobility, like we were talking about, your oral health, like, you know, whether you're taking care of, let's not forget dentistry, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're not taking care of those things, and you can often tell in your body when something's not right, but you can often not tell. Mm-hmm. So it's not a guessing game that people should be playing with over a long period of time. You know, a year goes by too, maybe, but if you have an underlying condition and you're aware of it, it's time for all of us to take this as a big lesson and say, I need to take care of myself the best I can in the environment that I am. So what are the steps that I can take if I can't utilize the conventional healthcare system? And how can I be my own best practitioner with lifestyle changes that can start mm-hmm. really young, especially if you have kids that you're raising?
Well, we're going to get into diet and lifestyle shortly, but I just want to kind of set the framework for all this. Are we seeing now downstream effects? I mean, for example, more ER visits, or late-stage diagnoses, or higher overall cost?
I think we're at the beginning.
Okay.
I think we're just at the edge of all of this. We haven't really had, I mean, we've had, honestly, is it the best healthcare in the world? Probably not. But the reality is what's changed with the Affordable Care Act, just in line with, you know, tax deductions and the cost of that alone, is just now beginning to hit people in their pocketbooks. So this whole risk of what will transpire over 6, 9, 18, 24 months is a bit of an unknown. Mm-hmm. And yet people who are used to being able to go in and get regular tests done for very good reasons may be the first at risk. You know, if you have an existing healthcare condition and you are not seeing the doctors and the practitioners you need to see on a regular basis, you're first on that line of risk. So I think this is going to be a cumulative effect. I don't see it changing anytime soon. And yes, I think you will see more visits go into the ER. That's certainly going to happen. And that may be the first indicator that we see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know, is this costing the system more money than it even saves the individuals in the short run? Have we gotten to that point? Because we know we tend to think, oh, an ER visit. But those ER visits, and if we're dealing with late stage diagnosis, and what are we going to see? What's happening in that?
You know, and I'm going to agree with you. I think it's going to be fairly dire. Mm-hmm. I also think that it's driven in large part by the fact that healthcare is an industry that's designed to make money. And that in itself creates the problem. And when situations like this come and you're trying to mitigate your risk by passing on cost, then you've really accumulated the risk of the entire population. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like letting malaria spread.
Yeah. Or measles. So,
or measles, a very good example, right? So that you don't even know what the outcome of that measles increase will be over time. Yeah. But you do know that people who are not getting vaccinated for that are not getting vaccinated for anything. And that has a cumulative mm-hmm. risk for the population. That's not even an economic issue. So we have always looked at healthcare in the U.S., not in other countries necessarily, as a money-making, stock-traded industry. And it really shouldn't be at all.
Well, I know you emphasize personal responsibility. And we're going to talk about all of that. But how realistic is it for people working multiple jobs are living in food deserts What about them? We've got to include them too. Their personal responsibility, where does that sit?
You know, it's really interesting given that I live in Washington, D.C., with many different kinds of urban areas. And I have watched this city invest in itself by neighborhood in terms of growing their own foods. I've watched the churches take a really active role in enabling people to do things for themselves all across the city. And I think that, you know, for that reason, D.C. might be a little bit ahead of some of the other large metropolitan areas. I'm not sure because this is the only one I live in. But I do think that if we can collectively have the conversation that the safety net needs to be rebuilt, the safety net now for healthcare rests in an emergency room.
Do you think, and I'm just kind of thinking as we talk, but do you think we're placing too much responsibility on individuals instead of looking or addressing the systemic barriers that exist? Does that play into it at all?
I think it plays into it greatly.
Okay.
I do believe that healthcare is rationed economically by your financial status. Absolutely, 100%. And yet, you know, people are still, they have been able to figure out how to maintain their health, stay healthy. School systems has been very supportive of that. Those funds have been cut. So I don't think we're looking as a country, I don't think we're looking out for the health and welfare of the population right now. And we're trusting in corporate America to do that, which seems a bit outrageous. And yet, when people are in this, you know, moms and dads everywhere, no matter what their economic status, want their kids to be healthy and do well. So how to do that is, like, you know, you have to make some pretty significant lifestyle changes and commit to them that are, may have incremental costs, but are still, you know, eat, sleep, and do right by yourself and exercise. Some of that doesn't cost anything. So it's a cultural change for our country in many ways, because we've been fed, literally we've been fed food that's produced to be cheap and easy to eat and not nutritious.
Yeah, I'm glad you added that part to it. Because, yes, what has been promoted is not really good for us. Well, we're at that time, but we're going to take a break. But when we come back, I'd like us to look at self-care. And I know that is definitely your thing, and how we address self-care, who's responsible for it. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this is Dr. Liz Hollifield, and I am talking with Karen Howard, and we will get right back at you. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and we are talking about healthcare costs. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and I am talking with Karen Howard. She's the Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association and also an author. Karen, as we look at healthcare, one question I want to ask you before we really get into self-care is, what does equitable prevention actually look like in today's economy?
Well, it's a very big question. Wow. If it were equitable, I think all of us would have access to local practitioners who were not just trained in prescribing medications. I think we would be able to access a range of providers who provide a fully comprehensive set of health and wellness benefits, not just conventional practitioners. There's enormous benefit in people who do chiropractic. There's dermatology, there's dentistry. All of these things have enormous impact on your health. And I don't see that happening. The other thing I don't see, you know, we're in the middle of a campaign season, I suppose, but I don't see people using healthcare as a platform anymore. And that really troubles me.
You're reading my brain, because It is not. I haven't heard it in a long time at all.
No, it's tragic. I mean, I have done healthcare policy since I came here a very, very long time ago. And I understand all the facets of it. I've worked on the conventional side, the non-conventional side of mental health issues. And I don't hear anybody talking about the health and wellness of their communities mm-hmm. on the airwaves. Mm-hmm. Lots of problems. I know there are lots of problems, but
well, we got to start somewhere.
It's got to be the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, I know that the buzzword is self-care.
Yes.
What does responsible self-care look like from where you sit?
So some things we have a lot of control over and other things we do not. The quality of our air and water is suspicious at times. Mm-hmm. And those are elements that can be out of our control. But the food that you take in is what is in your control. So we've grown up in, I can remember when not just fast food, but packaged food started with Tang. When the astronauts went to the moon mm-hmm. and had Tang. That was the first fake product we had on our shelves in my house. And then quickly after that came Hamburger Helper, Tuna Helper. And I was like, all of a sudden the pot pies didn't have a bottom anymore. And I was like, what happened? I was like still cooking out over a campfire. And I'm like, what happened in the kitchen? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Frozen pizzas. I'm like, when did this happen? Why are we not going to get a pizza? You know, it was, and it stuck with me all these years and it's never changed. It's only gotten more prevalent and certainly prolific in terms of the ways you can buy food that's been processed. And that just means you're lacking as many nutrients as you could possibly lose. It's mm-hmm. just, it is between that and a lack of hydration and a lack of exercise. This is not new. These have been the banes of our existence now for 40 years.
Yeah. Well, when we look at just the daily style, individual lifestyles, what are the most important daily habits that people should prioritize for long-term health?
Never stop moving. Okay. Never stop moving. The minute you stop walking and doing whatever your outside exercises or what motivates you, That's the first step to losing your kind of balance and health. So that for me is a big one. Always move. And I've watched that happen with family members. Mm-hmm. And then I would add this, the lack of sleep that we give ourselves is mm-hmm. also incredibly detrimental. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we don't think about, 8 or 10 hours of sleep anymore. We're looking at like 4 and 6, maybe 8. And just that alone, and it's not always by design. Sometimes people just can't sleep, which is one of the things we can talk about. Like, how do I get to sleep? You got so much on your mind, you can't fall asleep.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
And so, those are also, excuse me for saying, those are also variables that influence our mental health. You know, this is Mental Health Month.
Absolutely.
You know, and exercise and sleep. And and eating correctly, all of those influence how we cope daily.
Yes, yes, 100%. I put sleep right up there on mm-hmm. top.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
How can people distinguish between evidence-based self-care ads and trends are misinformation? Because there's plenty of that too. And I wondered if you would share some insights into, how we know if it's really evidence-based self-care. Are they just trends, or is it misinformation? Because there's plenty of that out there too.
Social media is one of the biggest problems in the world that I walk in terms of mm-hmm. every TikToker has the explanation for you. And I'm like, wow, we'd all be so healthy if that were true. So being able to discern what could be real and what isn't. I mean, I always look at social media with 50%, skepticism. I don't ever take it. And now that I've watched enough of the TikTokers who are out there solving all the world's problems, my recommendation is just like if you go to buy a supplement, if it sounds too good to be true,
then it is.
Mm-hmm. It's just not going to work. Mm. So I really think that people need to be judicious and understand that, first of all, it's going to rely on you and your body and your brain and your heart and all your muscles. So nobody who looks as good as these TikTokers do is having the same problems as you and I are.
Yeah.
And these products are easy to sell like that. And, you know, it's a real challenge in the industry, not just, you know, in supplements, but food and everything else, to sift through what's real and what's bogus. And, you know, as we get into that a little bit more, there are ways to do that. I would never recommend anybody buy anything based on a social media post.
Okay. That's a good point. Just start right there.
Just start there.
And that will address a lot of this misinformation and trends. Where do you suggest they get their information?
Well, I think there's a few things that you can do. We have actually a really good consumer site now. Right now it's focused on three particular ingredients: magnesium, vitamin D, and omega-3, mm-hmm. easily accessible, fairly affordable. But it's a consumer-driven site, nutrientpower.org, that allows you to see why we're talking about it, what the implications are for not having these nutrients in your body, and what the benefits are for having them. And it's a great place to begin your education in terms of what is it I need. Because the reality is we've depleted our food supply so much, even the food that, you know, you buy on the outside of the grocery store aisles may not have the nutrients in it that it had 20 or 30 years ago, because we've stripped the soil of so much of our nutrients. So that's mm-hmm. another issue.
Yeah.
And
another program.
And it's, you know, it's all part of, because mm-hmm. what I'm talking about is all about food. Dietary supplements are the second most regulated of food, the first one being breast mm-hmm. milk. So you need to find sources of information where you can get that. And that does lead you into things like organic, and like even the non-GMO project. Because if you're buying a bag of chips in the store, 9 times out of 10, that bag of chips will have been grown in a field that was sprayed with glyphosate. Yeah. Glyphosate is a yeah. poison.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the non-GMO project butterfly or the organic seal on it, you're taking, first of all, put the chips back. Second, if you do want to treat yourself to a bag of chips, pay that extra few pennies or nickels and buy that one with the seal. I mean, it's gotten so prevalent. I'd rather eat less and eat better at this point.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you if you would educate us just briefly, because you mentioned magnesium, vitamin D, and omega-3, and how they were really important. Would you elaborate on all three of those and share with the audience just, you know, what they are and what they do? And what happens yeah. when you don't have them?
So my favorite topic. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's talk about vitamin D. The only way you can get vitamin D is through the sun or a supplement. You can't eat your way to a healthy vitamin
okay.
D.
Good.
We have been taught that we should not sit in the sun. And as a result, that's why we're all vitamin D deficient. 90% of us are vitamin D deficient. Mm-hmm. And what you need to do is you need to sit out in the sun for at least a half hour every day with 50% of your skin exposed to get a pretty good amount of vitamin D. I'm pretty confident none of us have the ability to do that any longer on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of left with the vitamin D. It's a very small, because a lot of people don't like taking pills, right? It's a very small pill. And then the other thing to know about vitamin D is you can measure your level. And if you get into the doctor and they're doing blood work, you should ask for these tests. But you can also get it done through nutrientpower.org. You can order a test kit. So 90% of you are not sitting out in the sun, and you need to take vitamin D, and you need to have your levels at 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. So okay. I take 5,000 to 10,000 mm-hmm. IUs of vitamin D every day.
Okay.
So that's one. Omega-3. You can only get omega-3s from cold water fish. A lot of people don't like sardines. I happen to like sardines. So a lot of people don't like that kind of fish. Mm-hmm. Really hard to eat enough and get your level to 8%. 98% of us are deficient in omega-3. So that's why a lot of people go to a capsule. And when you're looking for these capsules, look for important things. Yes, you can always use the organic steel and the butterfly, because same problem with, since it's food, same problem mm-hmm. with glyphosate. But you can also look for an NSF seal, which is a seal that means the organization has done a credentialing process to ensure that this product has adhered to all the rules. So we work with NSF, and that's a great seal too.
Okay.
And the third one, magnesium, it's a little easier. Not dark chocolate. I could eat my weight in dark chocolate. Not sure that would be a good idea. Not sure eating my weight in nuts would be a good idea either. Oh. But when we talk about sleep, there are magnesiums, and not all magnesiums are made alike. So magnesium citrate, which is what most of the women I know in my life take, is all about having bowel movements. Another problem women have. But the reality is something like magtine is what will help you get to sleep, and it improves your level of vitamin D absorption. So these all work together.
Okay.
And that's why we think those are the three sort of starting points versus going niche. It's like, I have this weird thing and I'm going to take ashwagandha, even though I don't know anything about ashwagandha. Mm-hmm. So I recommend when people are starting or, you know, just getting interested in this, that these are the three that NutrientPower.org actually focuses on.
Okay. Well, what are some of the common self-care mistakes that people make that can really actually backfire on them?
It's hard for me to answer that because I'm so regimented in my own way.
Well, that's good.
It is. I just had my first surgery ever, and I have an ACL thing, and it's like I'm already 2 weeks and I'm already driving and everything. I credit my healthy lifestyle for all of that, years and years of exercise. But I do think you can do things too much. You can over-exercise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what
see it happen all the time. That's not why I got my injury. It was a little different. But you can over-exercise. You can over-drink water.
You can say that two or three times. I think people need to hear that.
You can overdrink water. You're diluting your saline mm-hmm. levels in your body. You have, you know, the possibility of passing out. You can sit out too long in the sun and get skin cancer. So it's all about that balance, right? Like leading a life. You know, we all sit inside too much. I can't imagine that's really a problem unless you're in an industry where you're outside all day long, mm-hmm. which is common too. So there are a million ways that you can mess this up. But, and you can exercise with, you know, crappy equipment, bad shoes. So when you want to, if you're going to make a big, like New Year's Day promise to yourself, or you're going to do that tomorrow, find that low hanging fruit for you. Look at your refrigerator, look at your cabinet, evaluate how much is processed and how much is just ready to eat mm-hmm. and make decisions there. You know, look at your, you probably have, if you don't have vitamins, I'm guessing you have OTC stuff in there. Do you need it? What are you using it for? Is it an antihistamine just to make you like get through the day? Are you taking too much ibuprofen? Another thing you can do too much of, right? So I think those are the places, that's the incremental starting. And when I say go start to exercise, don't go out and run 5 miles if you haven't done that lately. Start with a few sit-ups, you know, walk around the block, get your family engaged in doing things on a regular basis together like that. Mm-hmm. And if you're in school, you know, and you're doing that eight hours a day or however many, you know, make sure that before and after you're not just watching TV. You know, you're using mm-hmm. that time wisely as well.
Well, I know, you know, the key you emphasize nutrition as foundational. What does it look like in practical, affordable terms? What does that look like?
I do think that when it comes to diet, and it's been a long time since I've, you know, had to kind of look through a cabinet and make that evaluation myself because I have lived this. My kids have lived it. But I do, you know, I have a daughter who can, you know, really pound the packaged foods and anything in the freezer. And vegetarians, by the way, can be some of the worst nutrient fed people on the planet because everything becomes a carb. So those kinds of issues, I think, are what we really need to be kind of front and center with. And I think the other thing that's really important is don't beat yourself up.
Okay.
Be patient with yourself.
Okay. Well, one question that I got consistently when I said that I was going to be talking with you was simply ask her, how can families eat healthier on a limited budget?
So I start with, especially now, I think that farmers markets are a really great resource with people who have limited funds. And I watch the food stamps being changed at my farmers markets all the time. And you're going to get more for your buck, especially in terms of fresh vegetables, than you will at a grocery store. So I love that. And we've got in DC, we've got farmers markets all over the city. That's heavily utilized. So there's that. I know it's cheaper to buy processed food, but I also know everything's cheaper than going out and paying for processed food.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add the entire cost of what it takes to feed a family on a particular burger, I mean, I really didn't know anymore, but because I haven't eaten anything like that in so long, but the reality is consider it a treat. Don't do it all the time. And then that starts to change the behavior of the family on its, you know, on its whole.
Hold your thoughts here. Okay. And I'm going to get back to you and you can continue to respond to this. We need to take a brief break. You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we will return shortly.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? Today's 411 is really let's find out about healthy eating. And I have been talking with Karen Howard. And Karen, I had to interrupt you. You were talking about families eating healthier on a limited budget. You want to continue your thoughts?
I do. I just want to add that I think don't challenge yourself so hard. Like, take it slowly. Mm-hmm. Take something out and add something in. And you'll find out what hits the kids and what doesn't, like, you know, what they like and what they don't. And you won't waste food. I don't want anybody to have to waste food. And then I think the other thing is we've gotten away from cooking.
Yeah.
And as a society. And so I think the cost of even just cheap fast food and the expense that it costs you later is not worth, you know, it's better to teach kids how to cook and give them that power, even if it's just a simple bean soup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Bean soup, not expensive, incredibly rich in fiber and nutrients. So we need to really get back to grandma, you know, and like when grandma was making food, it was like really good.
It was great. Mm-hmm.
It was great. And the other thing is start growing your own herbs. The kids love doing stuff like this. And they can grow their own lettuce. They can grow their own herbs. They can do it in a windowsill. So I think there are a lot of things that we just kind of don't think about in terms of our ability to make slow but steady changes that you'll start to see, especially in the winter months. You'll start to see the benefits when kids aren't coming home with runny noses.
Now, are there specific dietary patterns that support immune resilience?
Well, that could be debated at great length. I think it really depends on who you are. And I'm going to pick on my daughter again, who's a vegetarian and has been for decades. And her lack of consumption until recently, when she started cooking, her lack of consumption of fresh vegetables, legumes, it was really a diet that was rife with carbohydrates. And as she has learned how to cook which she's doing a beautiful job of. And she's not, you know, she's 30 now. So as she was doing that, it has changed her perspective on food.
Okay.
And I think that's a really good example mm-hmm. of what we're talking about in terms of how you make these changes. You have to want to make them. And then you have to sort of build it into the rhythm of your life. And you have to take that in incremental stages so that people don't run away from you and think that you're crazy all about nutrition and health like me.
Well, okay. As we talk about immune resilience, how is it different from just not getting sick? Is there I think there's a difference.
That's a really good question. That's a really good question, because the idea is that you don't get sick,
mm-hmm.
not that you're avoiding illness. Now, if you're in a situation where you're working with somebody who's got a chronic health problem, that's one thing. But if your only goal is to not get sick, then it might just turn into a project, because this is really a lifestyle change.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, beyond diet, and I think you've touched on this, what are there other lifestyle factors that most influence the immune strength that maybe we haven't talked about? Is anything?
Well, I'll tap into the book a little bit.
Okay.
I think that one of our biggest problems is stress. I don't think mm-hmm. anybody would deny that. I don't know anyone that doesn't have stress in their life. My dog probably doesn't have any stress. Shouldn't.
Yeah.
So I think that when we look at, and of course, all of this is stressful. I mean, if you're worried about your family and you're worrying about how you're going to feed your family, I mean, there's a stress level right there that is hard to avoid. So the question is can you avoid, there's suffering in the world,
mm-hmm.
but there's also unnecessary suffering in the world. And oftentimes we bring that upon ourselves. So the book is Upset is Optional, which seems ridiculous when you just say it. But it actually is that, you know, we have forgotten how to breathe, which of course impacts our sleep. You know, we breathe mm-hmm. from the high part of our chest. We don't even know where our diaphragm feels like anymore. I mean, you'd have to play a wind instrument to even know what I'm talking about, I think. So, you know, whether we breathe, how we sleep, our relationships and interactions with people. When you can get a perspective that's peaceful, when you can walk in peaceful feet every day, a lot of those stressors that cause illness can go away. So it really is, it is more than food, and it is more than supplements. Those all play a big role in it.
Mm-hmm.
But enabling yourself to not be constantly upset is a real skill to learn.
Are there warning signs that you may cue people into that their immune system might be compromised?
Well, I'm not a doctor. I only play one at home. you know, it's interesting. I think there are indicators. Headaches, always a good one.
Okay.
Sometimes muscle stresses can be, you know, generated mm-hmm. from stress. And I think that if you're really in touch with your body, and most of us are not, that you'll start to feel like let's just pick on TV news. If you're sitting and watching the news and you start to feel crappy, turn it off. You know, and we don't do that. We don't have those, we don't have boundaries for all that we take in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of, these things, you know, play off one another. You know, the more healthy you can eat, the better you feel because you sleep better. Your body's working more efficiently. And that balance of what you're dealing with in everyday life can really complicate how your body, the functional effect of your body. We underestimate that. So I think, again, you got to move.
Mm-hmm.
You got to drink water. you know, you've got to sleep, and you've got to prioritize those things, which means drowning out a lot of the noise.
Well, do you think people should get tested before taking a supplement?
I love that. I mean, I think, you know, I I'm the perfect example because I'm obviously crazy about this stuff. So I went and got my vitamin D level tested, and it was way too high. Way too high. So I'm telling you, 40 to 60 is your measure. Okay. Mine was over 100. I was like, oh, ouch. So I do think it's really important, especially in the beginning. And if you can get into your practitioner and it's time to do blood work, you should ask for these tests to be done. You know, okay. Test my magnesium, test my omega-3, and test my vitamin D. They're going to disagree with what my experts say are the appropriate levels. Ignore that. Just get the levels done so you know. And then in 6 months to a year, test again. And if you have the, you know, the ability, we actually have our partner, Grassroots Health, who studies all three of these nutrients in combination. They have a test kit that's for consumers. We actually took this all to Capitol Hill and handed, you know, did tests on all those Capitol Hill staffers. So you can get a test kit and do it at home and get the results back. And that's, you know, that's available on the website. So it's important. It's as important as your annual visit.
Okay. Well, you know, the supplement industry can be overwhelming.
It is.
Is there any suggestion you would make as to how consumers would approach it safely? I mean, what should people look for on labels to really ensure quality and efficiency? We know they don't need to deal with social media, okay? But that kind of thing. Are there some red flags that signal a supplement may not be trustworthy? I mean, just talk to us a little bit about safety and supplements.
I'll say, you know, first off, even on social media, if it says it can treat something, if it says it can cure something, and it says it can keep it away, it's violating the law.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, a lot of people have access to specialty stores, natural grocers in lots of different states, Whole Foods. There are people in those stores and smaller stores too, independent retailers. There are people in those stores who are trained and can help you. Guide you through this. You can walk into Target and there are like 1,000.
Oh, yes.
On a shelf. 1,000. So when you walk in like that, I mean, it's like I'm just going to turn around and leave. So that's why we suggest, you know, that Organic Seal, the non-GMO Project Butterfly, and then looking for that NSF. And that takes like 85% of your problems off the shelf.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of stuff that doesn't have that. It has weird seals on it, but they're not those three seals. Mm-hmm. And if it does say that it treats anything, just please, please, please walk on.
Walk away, yeah.
Just walk away. So that helps. And having somebody in a store that can actually walk you through it and knowing what you're looking for, you know, where are you going to start, is a good way. But those are my best hints that I can give people. And stay out of gas stations. Don't buy anything there except gas.
Good point.
You don't need Gatorade.
Well, let me ask you, is there a risk of relying on supplements instead of addressing the whole healthcare behavior, lifestyle? People just think, well, I'll take this supplement and that, and then I'm fine and I don't have to worry about anything. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I think it's because that's how we were treated with our pharmaceutical drugs. Well, I'm just going to take this and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're taking when you do this is you're taking food in. So it's not, you know, it isn't the end all. It's a component of your health. And that's what people, they're looking for the golden ticket. And the golden ticket isn't in one place. It's in a little combination of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask people to pause, which is why we don't talk about a lot of the niche supplements that are out there. You'll get online, you'll go, ashwagandha is a really good example. It's a fun word to say. What does it do? You know, don't start there. That's a really sophisticated purpose.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, it's like the doctor would tell you, just take a multivitamin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the opposite end of the spectrum, because generally speaking, there's not enough nutrient of any kind in a multivitamin to make a difference.
So there's that sweet spot that you got to find, right? And that's why we're trying to help people find the right products by eliminating all the noise, finding the right seals, spend a little bit more money to know that what you're getting is quality. And you can do your research. Some of these sites are really good. But NutrientPower.org will teach you why these three, and it will really set you on a straight path to how to make the best of what we're talking about.
Well, we're almost out of time, but why do you emphasize organic and non-GMO supplements specifically?
It's the amount of trauma our soil has experienced from conventional farming has stripped the nutrient levels of our food way down. It's just soil overused and overused and then fertilized. And then add to that the use of chemicals and pesticides to improve crop yield has a detriment in your body. This has been a longstanding argument, glyphosate being the one everybody talks about, but the data is really strong on that. So that's why I don't buy everything organic, because I mean, it's a lot, it's expensive, but I really want my vegetables, either want them grown on a farm that I know about, I want them to be organic, or I want packaged stuff to be non-GMO. If I'm going to if I'm gonna eat chips and crackers, they're going to be organic or non-GMO, because everything else is going to have trace pesticides in it. So that's kind of where I'm headed with that. I think it's a good guidepost. Not everything I eat is organic. Organic standards for fish. I'd rather know that it was caught out in the middle of the ocean. Because it's just, it varies from item to item. And mostly what you're looking at is nutrient value and lack of pesticides.
How can consumers weigh cost versus quality in this space then? How can they do that?
Start small.
Okay.
Start small. Clean out your cabinet. Get rid of the stuff that you know you shouldn't be eating. We all know what that is. Nobody needs to be taught that. And then when you're replacing it, replace it with whole grains. Replace it with, you know, start small. And replace it with fresh vegetables or fresh frozen vegetables. Canned vegetables tend to not have as much nutrition in them. When you can, and you know that it's important, like if it is chips and cookies, look at that. You've got to start reading labels. Got to start reading labels and stay. And when it has words you can't pronounce on it, I don't know what to buy.
Yes.
It's really that simple. And do what you can, and just do your best.
Now, in this last minute or so, if someone is listening and they can't afford regular doctor visits right now, what are maybe the top three things that you would advise they start doing tomorrow?
First thing I would advise is get out and walk.
Okay.
I mean, if you're not moving on a regular basis, just start there. Like get that. Get enough sunshine, be out in the daylight, get that sunshine, do that walking. You'll start to feel better despite yourself. And then I think in terms of your intake, I mean, I really do think people are relying on caffeine and sugar for their hydration. So get that filtered water going. A water filter doesn't cost an arm and a leg. And start making sure that you are consuming enough water.
So
then make sure you start your day with breakfast.
Okay. All right. So what I was going to say is what I've gleaned from all this is education is really important. It plays a role in helping people make better decisions.
It's my favorite part of my job.
Okay. So that is a real key, okay, for folks making a better decision. Walking the straight and narrow. And you said walk is important. Just getting out and walking will be a key there. Okay. any closing words of wisdom or something that maybe I missed and you think you want to emphasize in the next 30 seconds that I didn't talk about?
I would just say, don't be hard on yourself.
Okay.
Be generous, and be find joy in the opportunity to change, because we beat ourselves up so much.
We do.
And we don't need to do that anymore. We need to just find small ways to make ourselves happy and find joy. Make your own popsicles. The kids will love you for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but just don't be hard on yourself. Like, life is short and complicated. Yeah. Let's make the best of it, because all we want to do is love each other.
Well, it's time out. And thanks to Karen Howard for helping us explore both the possibilities and the limitations of self-directed health. Always, much appreciation to my listening audience for the privilege of your time and ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Teen at wfsu.org.